One day at a time.
One moment at a time.
Be encouraged.
With God's help and a little bit of grace, don't give up.
Hey, I want to begin today with a shout out to all of our college graduates. Happy graduation. All right, so wherever you're at online, go ahead and put your hands together. Congratulate all of our college graduates, everybody. You earned it. They don't give those degrees away. You actually have to earn that. So we're so happy for you. We know you didn't get a full-fledged commencement. So here's pomp and circumstance for you. Da, na, 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 na. You probably want somebody better to do that for you. But just know that we love you. We're happy for you. Congratulations. 2 weeks from today, we're going to honor all of our high school graduates here in the weekend service. So be watching for that if you are a high school graduate or you have a high school graduate living at your house. So congratulations in advance. Okay, how many of you have heard the phrase, no pain, no gain? Have you heard that phrase before? I think a lot of us have. And of course, if you served in the military, you know that the very first thing you do is you go through this thing called basic training. Now, what do you do at basic training? You suffer. But the suffering makes you better. It reminds me of somebody who talked about the problems they had getting their son to clean his room. And the son would always agree to tidy up, but then he wouldn't follow through. After high school, the young man joined the Marine Corps, and when he came home for leave after basic training, his father asked him what he had learned in the Marines. Dad, he said, I learned what now means. In athletics, if an athlete wants to choose to get better, what do? They willingly choose to suffer. They'll get up early. They'll go without certain foods. They'll lift weights. They'll push themselves. Why? Because they want to get better. Now, speaking of lifting weights, I brought an illustration with me here today. Everybody, this is Jason. And as you can tell, Jason has lifted a few weights in his time. I mean, come on, look at this, all right? And so, Jason, tell us a little bit about, we're talking about how suffering makes us better. How does that work in weight training?
So you have to, a couple things you got to do is you have to break down the muscle or you have to damage the muscle.
Okay.
You have to cause a lot of stress and a lot of overload, which is with through heavy weights or a lot of reps. So you actually create tiny microfiber tears and damage the muscle on purpose because you know if you do, it's going to get stronger. So as you overload that, kind of a phrase that you hear in the gym is, you know, like you said, no pain, no gain. So
Right. You
know that if you can go through larger amounts of pain, or we say pain barriers, if I can go through all my pain barriers, I'm going to create great growth. And the funny thing is you learn to embrace pain as a good thing. And if I don't have pain, I felt like I didn't have a good workout.
Wow.
Because I know that pain is going to make me better and as I come out at the end of all of that.
So without suffering, you can't get stronger?
No,
okay.
Not at all.
All right. Well, I just want to point this out to the camera. Look at the camera. Before suffering, after suffering. All right, give it up for Jason. Thank you so much. That's great stuff. Now, let me just pause for a second and just look at you and just tell you, I want to encourage you. You're getting stronger. What's going on right now is you're getting better. Your faith is getting stronger. Your walk is getting stronger. And that's what we're going to talk about here today, how suffering is actually a great teacher. And we're going to go back to the book of Hebrews. We're talking in this series. The book of Hebrews was written to people who were suffering, people who were in trouble and dealing with persecution and all kinds of difficulty. And so to those people, here's what the writer wrote in Hebrews 5, verse 8. He says, although he was a son, Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the eternal source of salvation for all who obey him. Now let's stop for a second and look at this, because this is not something that we normally think about. The Bible says Jesus learned from the things he suffered. Now, hold on a second, Pastor Wayne. Jesus is God, right? And God is omniscient. God knows everything at the same time. How many know nothing ever occurs to God, right? Nobody ever surprises God with information. So how did Jesus, the God-man, how did he learn anything? Well, remember that Jesus was both 100% God and 100% man, and so that's the divine mystery of the incarnation. But what we have to go by is what the Bible says, that Jesus learned from the things that he suffered. And so I want to encourage you today, because right now, what are we doing through this trial, through these stresses, through this all of this resistance or these issues that you and I are facing? We're actually learning. I posted on social media yesterday, I asked a simple question: what are you learning through all of this? What is God showing you? There was almost 100 comments of people who were saying, well, this is what I learned about relationships, about God, about time, and so many good things. But let me pare it down to three things from the book of Hebrews here today. I think, first of all, suffering teaches us to pray. It teaches us compassion, and suffering also teaches us maturity. Okay, so let's go through this one by one. If you're taking notes, write this down. Suffering, first of all, teaches us to pray. There's something about a crisis that causes us to pray. I remember the story of a young boy who was sitting in church with his family, and he kept pestering his sister. He was pinching her, and she was making noise, and his dad kept telling the young boy, please stop, 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 and he just wouldn't do it. So finally, the dad picks up the boy, throws him over his shoulder, and just marches him out of the sanctuary. And as he's on the way out of the sanctuary, the young boy cries out, pray for me, people, pray for me. There's something about a crisis that causes us to pray differently. Look at the scripture, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Now, the Bible says what Jesus learning to pray. He learned to pray emotionally, loud cries, and loudly, the Bible says, with tears. And so how did he learn to pray like that? Well, the Bible says he learned it through suffering. You see, when we are in a crisis, our prayers are different. Our prayers take on a different tone. And matter of fact, one of my friends on Facebook put this on his page, and I asked him if I could share it. He said, if my prayer life and walk with Christ looks the same today as it did before quarantine, I am missing the message. You see, what's happening right now is that we have an opportunity to pray. And the good news is there are all kinds of people taking advantage of this opportunity to pray. There's a worldwide prayer network called Unite714.com, where literally hundreds of millions of believers are praying every day at 7:14 a.m., 7:14 p.m. for God to end this epidemic and for God to work. Last week, we launched a campaign called Adopt a Hero. And our vision for that is every first responder in our community and medical professionals who will allow us, we're praying for them every day for 6 weeks. And why? Because they're facing stress like never before, and anxiety and all kinds of things. And so if you'd like to help us out to continue to pray, we need a few more people to help us pray. The hosts who are online will give you a number to text the word HERO to help us pray for local heroes. Let me encourage you to continue to do that. In our online Tuesday prayer service, we have more people engaged than ever before. And of course, in our Facebook group as a church, there's all kinds of opportunities to pray. You see, I think what's happening, there's this crisis is giving us an urgency to pray like Jesus. But the Bible doesn't just say that he prayed with loud cries and tears, but the Bible says he was heard because of his reverent submission. I think that's interesting because Jesus learned to pray loud and emotionally, but the Bible says he wasn't heard because he prayed loudly or because he prayed emotionally. But the Bible says he was heard because of his reverent submission. I want you to lean in on this one because I think this is important. We know he prayed out of reverent submission because of how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, he said, "Not my will, your will be done." Don't you and I tend to pray self-focused prayers? Prayers focused on me, help me, guide me, direct me, answer me. But the scripture is saying that Jesus learned to not pray that way. He learned to pray, "Your will be done, your kingdom come." And one of the things that all of this does for us is it helps us to learn how to pray the right way. So let me ask you this powerful question. What if the challenges that you and I are now facing are not a challenge to your level of faith, but a challenge to your level of submission? I'm going to ask that one again. What if the challenges that you and I are now facing are not a challenge to our level of faith, but they're actually a challenge to our level of submission? Now listen, I like to pray as loudly as anybody. I like to pray as emotional as anybody. And remember what the Bible said, Jesus said, when you pray, say. You got to open your mouth. You got to talk to Jesus. But we're not heard because of the volume of our prayers. We're not heard because of how emotional we are when we pray. The Bible says we are heard when we learn to pray, "Your will be done." Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that we can't pray with confidence and faith because Hebrews 4 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence and find grace to help us in the time of need." See, this is what's happening right now is that you and I, we are exercising our prayer muscles, right? And it's stretching us and it's hurting us. And we're feeling it, and I probably should have had Jason come out and do this illustration again. But the deal is, your prayer muscles are getting stronger during this time. Amen, everybody? I think that's so important. Here's another thing that suffering teaches us. Secondly, suffering teaches us compassion. Jesus, the Bible says, learned through suffering. Well, what did he learn? Chapter 4, verse 14 says, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." What this verse is saying is that Jesus experienced everything you've ever experienced. Every hurt, every betrayal, every abuse, every abandonment that you and I have ever experienced, there's not a single thing that you've experienced that Jesus did not walk through here on this life. You know, there's an old song we used to sing when I was a kid. Jesus knows all about our troubles. And he does. He knows all about what you and I are going through. And the Bible says, through all of that, we have a high priest who cares. He showed us that he loves us because he has compassion on us. And we learn compassion like Jesus when we suffer. And again, the reason we need this is because most of us human beings, we're by nature selfish. We're focused on us, focused on ourselves, especially in America. I think we're so self-focused, we can easily become insensitive or callous to the people around us. But when we suffer, all of a sudden, our eyes are open to the other people around us who are suffering as well. You know, my parents were married for 57 years, and they fiercely loved each other. And we had a great home, far from perfect home, but we knew we were loved. They loved us. Part of our growing up years, my parents were foster parents, and we had different teenagers, babies, all kinds of different ages coming through our house. And every one of them had a story. But I'll never forget one particular young boy who came to live with us for a while. He just had this anger problem. He was just full of rage all the time. It just took it took us just a minute for him to just get, he just wanted to fight all the time, all the time. And of course, you know, as if he was my blood brother, we would have taken it outside and, you know, and dealt with it, but we couldn't do that. And so I'll never forget, because his grandma comes to visit our house, to visit him. And I don't know why I was privy to this conversation, why I heard what was going on, but I heard the conversation between this young boy and his grandma, and he was just crying, hot tears. I want to see my mom. I want to see my mom. I want to see my mom. And I don't know why the grandma said it this way. She said, "You can't. She doesn't want you." And I realized in that moment, all that anger, all that rage, all that was boiling inside of him was from this rejection that he experienced from his mom. And I had compassion. My prayer is that during all of this that's going on, you and I will learn to have compassion. That God will give us patience with one another, and that there'll be understanding of one another, more loving, we'll be more gracious, more kind. Let's let this thing, just let our compassion get stronger and stronger and stronger for one another. If you're watching this and you agree, type amen or something like that. I have to amen myself here today. Here's the last one. Suffering teaches us maturity. Suffering teaches us maturity. Back to the verse that we started with, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Although he was a son, Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the eternal source of salvation for all who obey him. And of course, I highlighted the word perfect because the original word in the book of James is translated mature. So he's talking about completion. He's talking about perfection. And so that's what happened, is Jesus learned maturity. And he did that because he endured suffering. And that suffering was God's will for him while he was here on the earth. Matter of fact, the whole context of this section of scripture is spiritual maturity, or growing up. Look at this, verse 11. He says, "We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn." Now, that's not very nice. He says, "You guys are slow. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." So the writer is telling these people who are suffering, who are being persecuted, he's saying, this is your opportunity to grow up. This is your opportunity to not be spiritual infants, to be spiritual babies, but instead to grow and be mature in the Lord and be strong in the Lord. Can I say that's exactly what's happening to us right here in 2020? This is our opportunity as believers in Jesus to grow up in our faith, to be strong in our faith. I think if there is a need in the body of Christ before the pandemic, we needed maturity. We need to grow up in the body of Christ, because far too many of us as believers, we're still just focused on ourselves, all about me, 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 and consumer oriented. And now Jesus is saying, hey, this is your opportunity to grow up, to be mature in the faith, and abandon the namby-pamby, kissy-poo, huggy-bear version of Christianity that you have been following, and instead embrace this suffering, this growth, this opportunity, this in the weight room of getting better and getting stronger in our faith in the Lord. John Piper was talking about this verse, and I love how he observed it. He said that Jesus learned obedience means that Jesus moved from untested obedience into suffering, and then through suffering into tested and proven obedience. So what are you saying is that what Jesus, the word learned, literally means he was tested or he was proven. You and I are being tested. You and I are being proven. We're being matured as followers of Jesus. Through all of this that's happening, through quarantine and financial stress, you know what's happening? You're getting stronger. You're getting better. You don't like it. Doesn't feel good. You're sweating. You know, you're out of breath. It's not comfortable, but you know what's happening? You're getting better. Your relationships are getting stronger. Your spirit's getting stronger. Your prayer life is getting stronger. You are pumping spiritual iron. And when those muscles are tearing and those things are happening, that pain, that resistance, why is there so much resistance right now? You know what? It's making you better. It's making you stronger. You're becoming a spiritual Jason Quellhorse. You are growing in your faith. We're all in the spiritual gym right now. The gyms may be closed, but the spiritual gym is open. We're all on that spiritual treadmill right now. And can I be your coach today? And just come alongside you and say, you can do it. Do one more, just one more rep, you know, on that treadmill. Hey, just one more mile. Come on, don't you give up. There is more to you. There is more in you than you think you have right now. I'm coming alongside you today and say, don't you give up. Don't you lay down. God's doing something good in your life. You've got one more week. You've got one more month. You've got another. Come on, you can do it. You can follow Jesus. You can do more than you think you can. What's God teaching you right now? Amen. Would you go ahead and play? What's God teaching you right now? What are you learning through all of this? I want you to take a moment and just begin to open your heart and your spirit and just ask God, God, what are you showing me through all of this? I think all of us can say He's teaching us to pray. He's teaching me compassion. He's teaching me maturity. But some of you, the Holy Spirit's revealing to you now, here's what God is teaching me. If you're watching online, if you don't mind, take a moment and write in the comments. Here's what God's teaching me. Let it be kind of a virtual altar call right here today. This is what God is saying to me. God's a good God. He loves you. And I know some of you might be thinking, but Pastor, you know, it doesn't feel like God loves me right now. It feels like God's mad at me. It feels like God's mad at the whole world. But you can't rely on your feelings, can you? We got to rely on God's word. Watch this. Hebrews 12. He says, endure hardship as discipline because God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. And what this verse is saying is, it says, don't let the enemy lie to you and say that the trouble you're going through is from God. Or is it your fault? Or you did this and God's mad at you and God's out to get you and God is judging you. This verse is saying, if you're a son or a daughter of God, you're going to go through some stuff, and He's going to allow it. And the reason He's going to allow it is because He's a good dad. Come on, all the parents out there, we know we're tempted, aren't we, just to cover them and shelter them. We don't want them to see suffering. But let me tell you something, parents, if you need your kids to wrestle with suffering, I didn't say create opportunities for suffering. That's not what I'm saying. But they need to see. One of the reasons I think that every student should go on a missions trip outside the United States before they graduate high school is this very reason right here. People, you just need to see how the world really is and that it's broken. So the Bible says, endure hardship as discipline, because when that happens, God is He's treating you as sons. You are not outside of God's protection. You are not outside of God's favor. You are not outside of God's love. The enemy's been lying to a bunch of you saying that that's the case, but this verse says that that's not true. He loves you. And yet, you're going through some stuff. You and I are going through some stuff, but you know what? What's happening? We're getting stronger. He's making us better. I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I think all of us are going to look back and say, you know that season of 2020? It truly was a year of victory, because that's where I grew more spiritually than in any other time in my life. Somebody's got to grab onto that right there. You're growing. You're getting better. You're getting stronger. I like to grill. Anybody like to grill? We've been staying at home a lot more last 8 or 10 weeks, and so cooking at home, I've been grilling more than normal. Now, I like to use charcoal because that smells good, it tastes good, and of course, the best thing to cook on a charcoal grill is steak, right? Now, in order to cook a good steak, that fire's got to get hot. Right, it's got to get really hot. You can't. It's a different heat than cooking chicken and hot dogs and hamburgers. It's got to be really, really hot, right? And then you take that piece of meat and you put it on the grill and you sear it and you lay it a couple minutes and then you turn it a quarter turn so the grill marks are perfect. Come on, somebody, can you smell that right now? I smell that right now. I'm making myself hungry. Here's the deal, you know. And then you only want to turn it over once. Theoretically, because that's how it tastes the best, but that's a long story. But because it's a charcoal grill, there's not an exact science to it. You know, there's a certain amount of time. You just got to watch. So more than once, I've taken the steak off the grill, taken it inside, cut into it with my knife, and say, you know what? It may look like it's done on the outside, but it needs to cook a little bit more on the inside. So what I'll do is I'll take it and put it back on the fire until it's ready. Could that be what you and I are doing right now? We're on the fire. We don't like it. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. But you know what God's doing? He's perfecting us. And you say, like, I'd like to get off that fire now. I'd like to things to get back to normal. And yeah, I would too. But listen, maybe God's not quite done with this yet. I just want you to embrace what God's doing in your life. I want you to embrace what God is creating in you, that yeah, it's not easy, and yeah, it's hard, and yeah, it's uncomfortable, and boy, this is, I've got resistance, and there's pain, but I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. Before we pray, I want to sing this chorus of this great old song that I think speaks to all of us, where we're at and where we're going. Amen. If you know it, sing it out loud.
Through it all.
Amen.
Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Where you're at, would you make a place of prayer in your own heart and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me? What do I need to learn? How do I need to grow? And just ask, say, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And you can even ask, God, increase my prayer life. I pray you'd help me to become a warrior in prayer, stronger in prayer, more faith-filled in prayer, more reverent in submission in prayer. More of your will be done, I pray. God, I pray for more compassion. I pray, God, that you'd forgive me for being so self-focused. And God, especially in this culture of fear, let perfect love cast out all fear. And let that love be shown through me. Let that compassion be shown through me. as I show compassion to other people. And God, I pray that you would help me to grow up. Lord, I don't want to be a spiritual baby. I want to be strong. I want to be mature in the faith. I want to be faithful. I want to be trusted. I want to be proven. I want to be somebody that you can lean on. And I pray that during this time, that would happen. Amen. One more verse, and then we'll pray one more time. But Hebrews 5, verse 8, still in that same paragraph of Scripture, the same one that we started with. Although Jesus was a son, he learned from the things he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the eternal source of salvation for all who believe him. That's not what it says. It says, he became the eternal source of salvation for all who obey him. I think one of the opportunities that we have in this season is for us to recognize the difference between a faith that believes in my head that Jesus is who he says he is versus a faith in my heart that obeys him. You see, there's this testing that's going on right now, and part of what's happening is your faith is being tested. And some of you actually think you're a Christian, but you're not. Some of you actually think you're going to heaven, but you're not. I know I'm being strong, but this is a time to speak to grown-ups here today. That you are deceived in that you think that you're following the Lord, but you're not doing anything that he says. You're not obeying him. And I just want to encourage you, this is what the scripture says, that he's the source of salvation to all who obey him. Are you obeying Jesus? Are you doing what he says? If not, then make a decision today. Today, I'm going to begin to obey Jesus. I'm going to do what he says. And of course, that begins. The first test of obedience is repentance. Repentance means I'm not going to do what I've been doing. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to follow Jesus. And some of you are watching today, and you just need to make that decision right now. I'm going to obey God. I'm not just going to believe it. I'm going to obey him. The good news is wherever you're at, you can make that decision right now. Today's your day. If that's you, if you're ready to make that decision, I'm going to lead you in that very first step of repentance, a prayer of faith. Magic words aren't going to save you. A decision to obey him is going to save you. And that decision begins with this prayer. Everybody would pray it out loud with me. Wherever you're at, pray it out loud. Jesus said, pray, say. So let's pray out loud. Dear God, thank you for Jesus Christ. I surrender every part of my life to him. From this day forward, I'm following you. I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus to save my eternal soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God for those of you that just prayed that and made that decision to obey Jesus. Let me take a minute and encourage those of you that have done that. We want to help you. We want to come alongside and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. So on your connection card that's online, take a moment and fill that out. And there's a place for you to say, hey, I accepted Christ. If you're watching live.graceassembly.org, there's a place to click raise your hand. And so just click that button right now. And we just want to pray for it and encourage you as you begin your walk with God. And I just want to applaud on behalf of our entire church family. And the book of Hebrews says a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering you on in the decision that you have just made to follow Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody. Praise God. God's doing a work. Amen. Is he doing a work in your life? I feel like God's doing a work. I know he's doing a work in my life. It feels like he's doing a great work in all of us. Let's embrace that. Let's lean into that. Let's continue to follow. Let's continue to press in. And let's just continue to be faithful and be faithful to what God's called us to do. And I just want to take one more moment and just brag on you and thank you for just being so resilient and just for hanging together, for taking care of each other, for praying for each other. Thank you for being a great spiritual family. We love you. And through all of this, God's making us better. Amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go with God. Have a wonderful week. We will see you soon.